Nothing, absolutely nothing, shall be impossible. We want to just share with you the message today, saying yes to the impossible. Saying yes to the impossible. I was at a meeting about a year or so ago, and the facilitator of the meeting began to talk about how to get through a meeting successfully. And they said, rather than saying but or no, you would say yes and. Sometimes in our life, we run into these stumbling blocks, these things that we feel is impossible. But what we need to remember that what's impossible with man is always possible with God. Amen goes right there. Y'all shy this morning. You know, we've asked the question, and it continues to be asked by those who are skeptic, what happened to God's miracles? Where are the miracles that the Lord has performed? And ladies and gentlemen, I want to announce to you that it's not that God is not performing miracles. People are not paying attention. They don't see them because they've not opened their eyes to what God can do and what God will do. So often we look at the natural and we don't consider the supernatural. Now, we've been sharing with you the miracles of Christmas. Last week we shared with you the incarnation. Based on the fact that before the beginning of time, God sent his son into the world. It's difficult for us to understand because we think it happened when he arrived. And yet it was in the plan and the purpose of God to send Christ into this world even before man was created. That was a miracle. And the fact that God Almighty would take on flesh, that was a miracle. Today I want to introduce you to the second miracle that we talk about in Christmas, not only the incarnation, God becoming man, but we also want to talk about the virgin birth, or what some would call the miraculous conception of God. I was reading from a book on yesterday, and it was sharing that if people don't believe in the resurrection or in the virgin birth, then you're really going to have difficulty believing other scripture. If you don't believe, now I didn't ask you to understand it. I asked you to believe it. If you don't believe that he was born of a virgin, then you're going to have problems with the rest of Isaiah, who prophesied that he will come and that this virgin would bring forth a son. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd be the first to stand in line to tell you I don't understand it. But God never told me I had to understand it. He said you've got to believe it. When this introduction came to Mary, I'm quite sure that her plans were to get married, to have a family, and to live a normal life. But when you're serving God, you're not asked to live the normal life. You're asked to live the impossible life. The impossible life. You say, well, how's that, preacher? I don't get into trouble. I don't do these other things. But in order for you to serve God, you've got to get beyond your normal routine and get into what we call supernatural living. It's amazing that God would include us in this work. It's amazing that God would even consider using man and using people like Mary, and yet God would do that. We don't see miracles because we don't open our eyes to the possibility of what God can do. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 107 and verse 8, wanting people to look deeper into the things of God, to look deeper into how he was moving and how God was working miracles each and every day. And he said, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. So when you think about believing and when you think about trusting in God, there are a couple of dilemmas that we have to deal with. Mary had to face them. You will have to face them. I will have to face them. And the first thing that we've got to deal with in this dilemma of miracles, there are some things that you will never understand. You will never understand. Even when we get to heaven, it will not be a place where you'll understand everything about God. We'll behold him, but like the angels, we'll have to realize that we are creatures. He's the creator. He is the amazing God. Yes, we will know him as he is known, but there are things about God that are far beyond even an eternal life that we'll be amazed at what God is doing. 1,000,000 years will pass by, and we'll still be amazed at how great God is. He is the all-knowing God. He is the supernatural God. Here's the thing that we've got to understand, that when you get to a place in life, call that unknown place, or that place where it's above your limitations, don't stop thinking that God can still move. When Moses stood before the burning bush, he recognized that he was in an unknown place. An unknown place. Abraham, when he got to the promised land, he was in an unknown place. So when you think about God and our understanding, you're approaching a place that is unknown. What does he say in his word? My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. As far as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways above your ways and my thoughts above your thoughts. Again, an amen goes there. So when we think about this, never think that because you don't understand everything about God that you're exempt from seeing his miracles. The angel Gabriel, when he appeared to Mary, never said, Mary, you need to understand this. This was not a certificate you get after you take a course. This was not a diploma that you get after you graduate. This was faith. This was trusting God when you don't know and you can't see it. Which brings us to the second dilemma that we'll face in life. Whenever you believe something that is unknown, get ready for struggle. Just because you received it from God doesn't mean everybody else gonna get it. Are y'all listening to me? This dilemma brings about what we call a step that requires us to go further, and we've got to accept trouble or hardship because we are living God's plan. Now, here's where a lot of people get crossed up. Here's where they get things kind of tangled up. They believe if I trust in God, then everything else is going to go easy. All right, let me ask you all, some of you, let's take a poll here. If some of you that's been living for God for a couple of days, has everything been easy for you? You've had some ups and you've had some downs. You've had some trials and you've had some struggles. But through it all, you learn to trust in the Lord. You learn to know that he is God. This thing called easy living, where a lot of people are, and they will get you to the place where they'll start saying to you, well, if you're facing trouble, that means you're doing something wrong. I wish they'd take a look at Jesus. I wish they'd look at the man from Galilee. Did nothing wrong, and yet he had nail prints in his hands. He had wounds in his feet because he stood for what was right. Easy living is not one of those things that we are seeking in this world. We are seeking godly living. Living for the Lord, knowing that if we live for God, he'll make everything all right. Don't misquote, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, and you add to it anything. Because there are some things that even though you pray for, you still ain't gonna get it. Are y'all in the house with me today? You gotta trust God even when you don't understand it, even if it means that struggles are gonna come your way. You gotta say yes to the will of God and yes to the impossible. What I want you to do today is to step up your faith. If this young woman called Mary, this virgin, if she could say yes to something she didn't understand, God is now showing us things that we can do, that we need to do, and we need to stop making excuses and start stepping up. Look at somebody, tell them, step up. When you believe God, you know that he'll work things out. Mary didn't wait around and say, let me think about this. Let me get back to you. Gabriel, I know you came with an important message, but I'll get back to you. Let's schedule an appointment for next week and we'll talk about it some more. Right after Gabriel said to her, nothing is impossible with God, that girl responded, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to your word. If you said God can do it, I believe that God can do it. That's the kind of folk that God is looking for. He doesn't want folk that know everything. He doesn't want folk that, amen, that they are experts in everything. God didn't ask you for that. He asked you for a willing heart. He asked me to have a willing heart and to be committed unto him. Now, I want to tell you something. Just because the Lord is speaking to you and you say, yes, Lord, from the bottom of my heart to the depth of my soul, yes, Lord, that doesn't mean everybody else going to say yes, Lord, with you. But like my mama said, you got to go if you have to go by yourself. You got to commit to what God is saying because he's still real and he's still good. Are y'all still here? So when we place, or when we get to that unknown and that impossible place, we must recognize that the Lord is in control and not us. Amen. Think about this. Messiah was coming into the world. Holy God was going to take on flesh, and he was going to live in a human body. He would not change his identity as God, so therefore the seed of the woman, a one-time event, would take place. Because God didn't need a personality. The personality was coming out of glory. So it didn't have to come from natural man. Which means if you don't believe in the virgin birth, God taking on flesh, if you say that Jesus had an earthly father, then he had a sinful nature. And if he had a sinful nature, he can't save us. Are y'all in the house today? People say, well, it's not necessary for you to believe the virgin birth. I didn't say understand it. I said believe it. The only woman that could have partnered. Now, don't some of y'all come up pregnant and talking about this of the Holy Ghost. No, no, no. Something wrong with you. No, no, that was a one-time event, a one-time thing that God was going to do this, and he would do it in such a way because Jesus had to be a holy seed. Man could not be involved in this process. God and God alone. Now, with that in mind, Mary didn't have a frame of reference. She couldn't go back and say, well, this happened to other women. No, 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 no. You it, baby. You the one. You're going to do something that no one else has ever done. You're the chosen one. You are the one of all the people on the face of the planet. You're the one. Now, your task is not the same as Mary's. But God points at you today through his word and said, you're the one. You mean I'm the one that goes over next door and talks to my neighbor? You're the one. That's why he put you near them. You mean I'm the one that helps somebody that's in need? Yes, you're the one. You saw it. You know how it is. You know, we see people on the street or we see homeless folk or we see the, and we say, okay, I'll help them next week. Or we see something wrong that's going on and we say, okay, I'll do something next week when I get my paycheck. God didn't ask you for your paycheck. He asked you to pay attention. When God shows you something, we used to have this thing in the military. One simple word, attention. That meant you stood still and you recognized authority. We don't have that in the church anymore. There's no attention. You can yell attention all you want. Folks ain't stopping. I'm going about my business. I don't care what Rev said. But if we're going to pay attention to what God is saying, what if Mary had said, you're not God. But Gabriel said, I came from God. And I'm not just your average angel. I'm an archangel. Which meant I'm the one that God depends on to deliver words that need to be delivered. Are y'all still in the house? So it was that this woman said, behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word. But how many of you all know that when you talk about doing the impossible, let's get into a couple of things, and I'm going to close my message today. You got to believe in the impossible. Say that with me. You must believe in the impossible. Say it again. You must believe in the impossible. Now, why is it that we come to church and we want everything to be ordinary? What if the Holy Spirit decided he was going to move in a different way today? Amen. Would we be ready for it? What if this morning when I got up, God had something assigned for me to do? Would I be ready for it? The word of the Lord is still the word of the Lord. Amen. He does not change. Here it was that Mary had to be committed to believing the impossible. And she had to believe that statement, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Gabriel was sharing information with her that had never been shared with any person on the face of this planet. God had spoken it through the prophets and said it was going to come, but now she's getting the personal message and the personal unction from God. And God was saying to her, Mary, let's do this. God sometimes speaks to you, not sometimes, all the time. He speaks to us and he says, let's do this. Let's love people. Let's go out and let's testify. Let's share with people what they need in this world. We'll get on our job and we'll let people tell lies before we even correct them. We'll laugh at their dirty jokes. Hello, y'all still here? We'll put up with all kind of stuff. And rather than saying, wait a minute, that's not God's way. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Are y'all still here? Just checking. Amen? So we don't have to worry about the how, because God's going to take care of that. And Mary, rightly so, asked the angel, how will this thing be, seeing that I don't know a man? I'm engaged to this man by the name of Joseph, but we've not had that relationship because we're not married. How is this going to happen? And then the angel said, the power of the Most High shall overshadow you. God Almighty is going to come upon you. Again, he didn't have to be created as you and I. He was already the creator. All he needed was a body. All he needed was a body. Now, I'm not going to try to scientifically go back and explain everything to you, because there's no science on the face of this planet that can explain that. Yet God did it. Matter of fact, when God stood out in the creation and nothing was there, he said, let there be light, and something was there. Then all of a sudden God spoke again and other things came together. So if God can do these amazing things to create planets out of just his word, my goodness, it won't be any problem for him to bring forth his son in the world. Y'all agree with that? Look at the trials you've had in your life where everybody was shaking their head and saying, this is impossible. And yet the impossible God came into your situation and turned it around. God moved in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. He plants his foot on the sea and rides upon that storm. That one that you're drowning in, that's the one God said, I've got the victory. I've got the victory in your life. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Now, here's what God did. He said, now, Mary, I know you need a point of reference. Let me just let you know that there is a point of reference. So he said to her, I've also had a conversation with this woman by the name of Elizabeth that formerly was called barren, but now she is 6 months into bearing a child that said couldn't happen. Oh, I like that. Your cousin, in other words, somebody that you can relate to. Lord, have mercy. You know, when you are in a situation, you just need somebody that understands, and you can't pick somebody that's never been through it. One of the worst things that we can tell folk, if we've never been through it, don't lie to people and say, I know what you're going through. You don't know. You've never been there. How in the world can you relate to it? Now, Elizabeth can only tell part of the story, but she can say, you don't know what God can do. He did the impossible in my life. And so as we read about Elizabeth, I need to connect the dots right here, because something happened. You see, somebody else got a report, and his name was Joseph. The first person that Mary had to tell about this impossible thing was to Joseph. Now, Joseph hadn't had a conversation with God, all right? So when she came to Joseph and said, I'm pregnant, Joseph said, wait a minute, we got an issue here. How did that happen? And then she responded, the Holy Spirit came upon me. No. I can't go with that. You see, God hadn't spoken to him yet. And what we want to do is we want to try to explain things to people that don't understand what we're going through. Lord, y'all ain't going to shout on me. I'm going to shout anyway. When you try to tell people who don't know, they'll stand right there and they will shake their head and go, No, I'm not getting it. But he was about to have a conversation with God. He was about to have a conversation with God. Meanwhile, back at the fort, meanwhile, Mary had to realize, well, I can't stay around here. These folk looking at me and a Jewish girl to get pregnant out of wedlock was to mean you about to lose your life, child. So she had to get out of town. Do y'all see what I'm saying? And what I'm telling you is there are times in your life that you got to escape to higher ground. You got to get among people who know and understand what you're going through. But now God's going to deal with Joseph, and I'll talk about that next week. God's going to deal with him. You see these two verses here, 18 and 19 of Matthew 1, is talking about now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, they hadn't gotten married yet, was espoused before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now, God hadn't told Joseph that first part, but he was about to, as my grandma said, he was fitting to talk to him. Are y'all still here? And I wish I had more time to preach this message. Well, that's why I'm telling you, here comes the miracle. Here comes the miracle. Mary needs Joseph. All right, I'm going to talk about something right now. A lot of us get to the place where we're independent. I don't need nobody. Okay? Now what are you basing that independence on? Mary needs him, but he doesn't understand everything right now, but God's going to lay it on his heart. Because Mary cannot do this by herself. Oh, y'all look out now. I'm coming down your street. A lot of times in church, we get these church attitudes. We don't need nobody. Woo! Whoa, back up. Everybody needs somebody. That's why God put you with folk. Now, he didn't say you got to understand them. You know, he didn't say you got to understand them, but you need each other. Oh, y'all ain't going to let me preach to you. So get past whatever it is you need to get past. Move on from whatever you need to move on to and recognize that he is God. He never makes a mistake, and he never apologizes for being right. He is holy God. So Joseph, being a just man, I wish I had time to preach it. He being a just man, not wanting to put her away privately. I can't deal with all of that, but if he had put her away in public, that would have meant that the Pharisees and everybody else that was self-righteous would have stoned her to death. And that would have been the end of the matter. But God ain't going to end his program just because of some hiccups. God is not going to stop what he's doing just because there are difficulties. He is not going to stop being God because we ran into something. Joseph is going to have to deal with God right now. Oh, no. And God said, all I need you to do, boy, just fall asleep. I'm going to talk to you. Lord have mercy. If you just lose consciousness for a little while, I'm going to talk to you and let you know that that girl is right. She's right. She's on the right path. She's obeying me. And Joseph slept. And while he slept, God talked with him. Number one, get fear out of your life. Fear ain't nothing but a liar going nowhere. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying? I'm preaching today. Lord have mercy. Do not let fear cause you to overreact. It'll cause your radiator to boil over. Lord have mercy. But if you let faith come in, faith will guide you to the rightful place. All right, we'll get back to Joseph in just a little bit. Meanwhile, she was over at Elizabeth's house. Why? Because Elizabeth understood what she was going through. But Mary didn't know what was going to happen when she got to Elizabeth's house. Before she came in the house and Mary said, hello, little John the Baptist began to jump for joy. Here he is, the one I'm going to identify. And not even born yet. Then Elizabeth said something that is so profound. Blessed are you among women. How did she know that? She knew it because the Holy Spirit came upon her. Same Spirit that had come upon Mary and caused that miraculous conception, which we can't understand. That same Spirit told Elizabeth, this is what's going on. And that girl needs to hear it. She needs to hear some encouragement. She's hearing all of these things about doubt on this side, fear on that side. She needs to hear somebody speak in her heart. And the Holy Spirit said to Elizabeth, do you know who you are? You are blessed of the Lord. And blessed is the fruit of your womb. Now listen to the last part, what she says, that you are the mother of my Lord. And why is it that you've come here? You're the mother of my... How did she know that? This was Messiah. It had been prophesied for centuries and hundreds and thousands of years. It had been prophesied. He's coming. He's coming. Get ready. Get ready. And now little John the Baptist hears something. You know, he's in his mother's womb and he hears something. Wait a minute. That sounds like somebody I might know. In his mother's womb, he gets filled with the Holy Spirit and he leaps for joy. And then because of that, Elizabeth responds and knows that this is God doing something miraculous. Let me just close this message right here. So many of us are going to go through a routine Christmas because we've stopped believing in miracles. Now we try to create the magic by going out and buying a few little gifts and getting all of these things. And thank God for decoration. They look beautiful, but that ain't Jesus. Thank God for nice trees. You ever seen these nice, expensive, I'm talking about expensive trees. You say, oh my goodness, that tree is expensive and alive too, right? All right? And it's got all of these golden things on it. We say, oh my goodness, that is so beautiful. That ain't Christmas. Christmas is still Jesus. Anything else you put in its place ain't going to work. It's not going to work. So the second thing, and then I'm going to get ready to close. You've got to be faithful despite insecurities. You got to be faithful. First of all, you got to believe in the impossible. That's what number one, right? Believe in the possible. The second thing you got to do, you got to be faithful despite your insecurities. Mary had no idea what was going to happen next. All she knew was, I've made this commitment to God. I've said to him, yes, I want the impossible to happen, but I don't know what my future looks like. Well, for the next 6 months or so, she was in a safe place. She was in a good place for her to be. She was in a place where somebody understood and she could talk to. And let me tell you something, child of God. God will send people around you so that when you get discouraged, when you get to the place where you feel like you can't go on, he'll send you to the right people to talk to you. And amen. How many of y'all had folks, they'll talk to you real. They'll be real. Don't go crazy now. All right? And they'll tell you what's most important. They'll keep you focused on the real priorities. They'll help you to identify who you are. The world is calling you everything but a child of God. When you get around folk who see you through God's eyes, they're going to love you. Even if you're doing wrong, they're going to tell you, wait a minute, you're not acting out or the way that you should. Here's where you need to be. Here's how you ought to be living your life. Don't allow your insecurities to keep you from the blessed promises of God Almighty. Yeah, I know you're afraid. Everybody's afraid these days. Nobody knows what's next, but God knows. And let me tell you this bit of information before you leave here today, before we give the benediction. Let me tell you this bit of information. The same God that's watched over you so far, he's going to continue to watch over you. The same one that's guided you to where you are now, yep, that same God, he'll keep you every step of the way. So I close with this. Not only are you to be faithful in spite of your insecurities, but the last thing is to keep you believing in the possible and knowing that God can perform the impossible, celebrate. Give God praise. Give him glory and honor for all that he's done. Let me tell you what happened. As Mary began to talk about it and to thank God, and little John the Baptist, he's still jumping. He's still leaping. You know, he's still jumping. Hey, man, he's just overjoyed. He can't wait to begin his ministry because he knows that this is going to be good. And you and I, we've got to rejoice even when we can't see what's going to happen next. As Elizabeth praised God and began to talk about it, she said, "This is my Savior. You're the mother of my Lord that should come." Elizabeth got it. The baby got it. And then Mary got happy and she started saying, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." Now, nothing has changed about the natural environment except what's going on in her life. Listen for just a little bit. Don't wait for your situation to change before you praise God. Because if God told you that things are going to work out, guess what's going to happen? It's going to work out. You might have to walk through in order to get to, but keep walking. Touch somebody, tell them, keep walking, keep moving. God didn't bring you this far to leave you now. And as he moves in your life, you're going to see the miraculous things happen. It has always happened because there have been people who faced the impossible. And then that came to an opportunity for them to discover that God was moving. You know, when I began to read and prepare this, I was thinking about a story that I'd heard about George Muller. George Muller, for some of you that don't know it, in the 18th century, he's one of these preachers. And they had to travel on ship or basically on land and horseback and all of that to get to their destination. He was traveling to Canada, and a storm came up. And George Muller began to ask, what can we do to get this ship to where it's going? And the captain of the ship said, we're in a storm, and it's in a fog. We can't move any faster. He said, I must be in Canada by Saturday to speak because that's my engagement that God gave me. And the gentleman shook his head. He said, I believe in God too, but God, he ain't doing anything about the storm. So George Muller said, let us pray. They closed the door to that little cabin, and they knelt down, and they prayed. And George Muller said, Lord, after 57 years, I've never missed an appointment and assignment that you've given me. He bowed on his knees and said, God, you are the faithful God. Would you come in and clear the storm? And then when the captain got ready to pray, George Muller put his hands on his shoulders and said, no need for you to pray. You got too much doubt. God's not going to listen to you. You got too much doubt. He said, let's go out and see what God has done. And sure enough, the fog had lifted, the storm had gone, and they got to their destination. Not because of Muller, but because of a promise from God. And child of God, let me tell you something. God is always faithful. He will always do the impossible. When you get a God that can only do the possible, you ain't got God. You just got your ego. But when you have a God who can do the impossible and you stand back and you say, what an amazing, what an awesome God we serve. And all you got to do is say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. From the bottom of my heart to the depth of my soul. Yes, Lord. Completely yes. My soul says yes. I preach in the overtime and you're supposed to be in Sunday school, but just give us a little bit and we'll pray. Amen. Father, thank you for your amazing love and your amazing grace. Lord, I'm so excited. I'm so excited about what you're doing and how you're going to carry out the impossible because you're a faithful God. Thank you for sending Jesus through Virgin Mary. We believe that today. We don't understand it, Father, but we believe it with all of our heart. As a matter of fact, I don't understand how you could take my sin and come into my soul, into this heart of mine, and change it and make it brand new. Lord, I'm just so thankful that you did the impossible. Keep on working in our lives. Keep on performing these miracles that we might ever follow you. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen. I want to extend the invitation. There might be someone today that you're struggling and you're saying, well, hey, I need a breakthrough. I need God to do things in my life. He is available and he can do the impossible. All you've got to do is believe. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. All of us struggle. All of us stand in the need. And we need the hand of God to just touch us and strengthen us. Join hands with someone and let us pray. Holy God, righteous King, you are everlasting and your truth endures to all generations. Lord, right here, right now, in this place, we believe in miracles. We're not asking for the routine because the routine won't work right now. Things are beyond our understanding, beyond our comprehension, but it's not beyond our faith. Lord, you have brought us this far. You have kept us this long. Do the miraculous. Do the things that, Lord, only you can do. And Lord, I realize that we are in a place where we can't do it on our own. Praying, first of all, that you give us understanding to where we can trust you. Not to the level where we know what you're doing, but where we can just trust you to know that you're God. Father, we come today taking these burdens and leaving them here at the altar. We're not going to get up with the struggle. And every time that struggle tries to argue with us, we're going to rebuke it. And we're going to say, Jesus has given me life. Jesus has given me joy. Jesus has given me peace. He's given me understanding so that I can move on and trust in your holy word. Lord, would you bless right now? Would you keep right now? And Lord, more importantly, would you forgive us? Forgive us, Lord, not only for our sin, but for our doubt. Our doubting you. Our doubting that you would do these amazing things. Lord, I thank you today that you've renewed our faith through this woman that we preached about today, Mary, trusting God and believing for a miracle. God, you did it. And you're that same God. And so right now, Jesus, come into the broken hearts. Come into the confused minds. Come into those doubts, Lord, and those fears. Breathe life. Breathe healing. Breathe strength. Through your word and through your mighty power. Holy Spirit, move right now. Touch right now. Bless right now. And Lord, we'll give you praise and all the glory, for it's in Jesus' precious name. And all the believers said, amen, 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 and amen. Thank God.